This intro is never going to get old.
Well, we do. We listened to that intro like six times trying to set this board up, and I still love it.
It's fucking perfect. Welcome to the first episode of Premonition of Paint.
We are a spinoff of popular Gunpla podcast. I can't even English.
Can't even say words.
Popular Gunpla podcast, The Cutting Mat Podcast.
Yeah, this is going to be the first like public bonus episode, per se. This is going to be me, Joel, True Gunpla, of the Cutting Mat Podcast, and Brandon.
And Brandon, Mecha Genre, also of the Cutting Mat Podcast. And we're going to talk about miniature painting, specifically painting things that are like a little bit smaller than Gunpla.
Yeah, a little bit more of that type of things. And then we figured it'd be a good way to kind of get our miniature Warhammer, Star Wars Legion, whatever we're painting tangents out of the Cutting Mat Podcast and into a solidified piece of...
They do tend to happen. They do tend to take up a lot of time in the Cutting Mat Podcast. So here's the thing. Why would we want to talk about miniature painting if we're primarily a podcast about plastic Gundam models?
Yeah, like sci-fi stuff. And
yeah.
It's I think it's like when you're... building Gunpla, it's fun to do other things, and it's good to expand on that for sure.
And I think like a lot of the techniques that we're going to talk about here on various episodes of Premonition of Paint are highly relevant to Gunpla building as well. If you're good at painting miniatures, you're going to like knock out inner frames, for example, because that's a lot of detail.
Oh,
painting.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm most excited about is that like when I got into miniature painting, like dabbled in with it, is that the moment I painted something, even though it looked like shit, I was like, I can't wait to do it in a frame. I can't wait to like do this on Gundam shit.
Well, like just imagine you get to like paint these, even 1/144th eyes, hardly any kits except for like real grades have individual eyes. You got to go in and paint them.
Yeah, exactly.
And now that's not going to be a problem because you know how to use a Kolinsky Sable 00 brush because that's what we're going to learn on Premonition of Paint. What kind of brushes you should use.
So this is going to be, like we said, kind of like a side episode kind of thing. If you ever listened to Last Podcast on the Left, they switched over to Spotify, and they're having their whole network underneath the Last Podcast on the Left. So like they do their bonus episodes under that same name.
Yep.
So this won't be a podcast where you have to go find the Premonition of Paint and follow it and find the Cutting Mat. If you're following the Cutting Mat, if you're a Patreon of the Cutting Mat as well, you'll get bonus content from this and everything else we do, and these main episodes will be public, and we figured out how to refuckulate this board.
Well, technically, we fuckulated it the first time. Then Joel defuckulated it. So then we had to refuckulate it. Did you defuckulate it again?
Once or twice.
We might be on the third or fourth refuckulation.
Yeah, but we have got it so fuckulated.
It's extremely fuckulated, I can say
now,
that for sure.
I mean, how long did it take me to edit an episode? Probably a week.
Yeah.
If not more.
Right, because you had to try to fit it in around all the other stuff that you were doing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a lot of like making sure that everybody's levels were correct, getting rid of everybody's feedback in other people's mics. Like the whole thing was such a pain because we had to record through a board into a software on somebody's PC.
Yeah. Now it was a whole shit show.
It was literally the technical term, I believe, is shit show. Yes. Yeah.
Technically.
It was a fecal exhibition.
But thanks to Zoom and the Live Track L8.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
We bought this thing last year. Actually,
we were
on the waiting list for a little while because these things are freaking popular. But it is worth every penny. Yeah.
It saves me. It takes a week worth of editing to literally 15 minutes on a computer. The only thing that's going to take long now is just doing the art and like promotional stuff.
Right, which means we get to put more time into the art and promotional stuff. So that's going to be tons of fun.
So,
also, that was not a paid promotion. We just like this board.
Just love Zoom. Yeah, Zoom's great. I've used them really before in band days and great hardware and all that. But enough about the logistical sides of shit.
Let's talk about miniatures.
Yeah, so we had this idea, I think, after we went on a tangent about Warhammer stuff in one of the episodes on the Cutting Mat, and we figured, hey, let's start thinking of ideas for like bonus episodes or like side episodes, and you had the idea of like, let's do like a miniature-based one.
Let's do a Star Trek-based one, and I think that really way to go is if we break the Star Trek podcast up into original series and the Next Generation, we can alternate between the two episodes, and what we'll have to do is we'll have to hit like
same
the major
Star Trek
Cold
tangents.
War themes of the original series.
It's a whole different
obviously
podcast!
Klingons were kind of like, oh, you know, these are like the foreigners, the Russians,
but wait,
or whatever.
Hey, there are Star Trek minis.
Yes, there are Star Trek
There's
minis.
There's a Star Trek ship minis?
I actually have a lot of them. There are several different manufacturers that make Star Trek minis. There were a couple of metal pewter minis that were churned out by a few companies. I believe Ironwind Metals, which used to be ArmorCast, makes a set of Star Wars or Star Trek miniatures. And then you can also, there are HeroClix.
Yeah, yeah, those are technically
they're
kind of
cool and they're easily paintable. If you ever try to paint HeroClix, these are the kind of topics that you will you're going to hear on Premonition of Paint.
Also, repainting toys and stuff. That's something we can cover in here as well, because I mean that's like the cutting mat. It's not just Gunpla stuff. Mm-hmm. It's hobby and casing for scale modeling. I think here miniature, you know, repaint stuff like that is a good home for this. And we'll have guests on the show too. Of course, you know.
Oh, totally.
Bringing on people that are, because I would say we're both not really as involved with the miniature community.
Yeah, not anymore.
compared to like Gunpla and scale modeling and in other maker communities. This is, for me, I guess we should talk about our experience. And I'll go first because I have jack shit.
Oh, yeah.
I started painting miniatures maybe a year ago. I started with like some Warhammer stuff. And then I remember that we went to RDUCon.
Yep,
RDUCon. RPMS here in Raleigh.
Yep, IPMS, the Eagle Squadron chapter in North Carolina, puts on a model show.
And you had some minis out for that one, didn't you?
I did. I brought a bunch of minis.
And you won.
I got first place in the mini category in RDUCon 2017.
Dude.
And I didn't expect it. Like,
but that got me into like wanting to paint that shit.
Dude, that is good. So that's nice.
Yeah.
I got you into minis.
Well, I guess that, because that's... I haven't painted a lot. I've been involved as in like doing research and watching videos. Huge shout out to Goobertown Hobbies. Dude is wholesome as shit.
Oh yeah.
Does great videos. Scott, the miniature maniac over there at Maniac, has wonderful fucking content. They have a podcast called Trapped Under Plastic.
Yep.
We are starting to see the metal band themed names for podcasts. But his is great because he also talks to people like Goobertown Hobbies and other miniature content creators and brings them in. He had, I forget his actual name, but the guy from Black Magic Craft, they did a video together.
Oh, yeah.
Not for Trapped in a Plastic, but just on his channel. So I've been like watching and learning and trying to absorb. I like to do a fuck ton of research and absorb information before I even touch or buy the thing I'm doing.
See, that's a great way to do things. And my experience is similar, but in some ways it's very different, because so for example, if I'll like look something up, find a model that might work, find six other models that might work, and then totally change the idea at the last minute. So like,
oh, shit,
while I'm doing the research, it's like, all right, I talk myself out of this.
Yeah, that happens a lot. Yeah. That for me, it's just like I sometimes get in my own head of like, I want this to be a good thing.
Yep.
And we've talked about it on the cutting mat, but just doing it, just do it. And
just
I
do
did that
badly.
Recently. Like, with the Star Wars Legion Bossk figure.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, I was painting that.
We're sharing a table with the Star Wars Legion Bossk.
Yeah, I pointed at it, and I kind of directed my voice towards it like this, but no one else can fucking see it.
I'm going to hold my mic up. Star Wars Legion Bossk, would you like to share any information that may be relevant? Anything?
I don't think so.
Okay, dead air.
Shit.
All right.
So what kind of stuff do you paint? I mean, I'm doing mainly right now Star Wars Legion, X-Wing, like repainting the ships.
Yeah, that's fun.
And then, of course, Warhammer. I got a bunch of orcs and space wolves that I'm kind of like learning on and practicing.
Do
you do?
I like Warhammer a lot. Like, I've been painting miniatures for a really long time, since like middle school probably, but I've never really been good at it. So I've just been doing it. Yeah, but I've been like getting gradually better. Like when I got first place in the miniature category at RDUCon, that was like the first time I thought, hey, maybe I'm kind of good at this.
Yeah, you know? Not like...
Because like I've just been doing it myself, and I haven't been happy with what I've been making. But that's...
Which is good.
I just have high standards. So like when I paint a miniature, I'm like, I'm going to do this badly and just see how it turns out. And I'm, you know, it usually turns out somehow.
I think having that like kind of not shutter view, but... isolation view of like,
yeah,
this is fine, but I can do better. But you're fine as someone's like, holy shit, that's Golden Demon.
Well, that's what
shit.
You want. Like, that's kind of how you want things to turn out. Like Golden Demon, for example, that's a major.
That's a
standard.
Weird thing that I've like, I've seen, like learned. It's like GBWC.
It reminds
but
me
better.
GBWC. Yeah. Well, it's because it's
still Games Workshop.
GBWC and Golden Demon have pretty different judging criteria as well.
For sure.
Like
Absolutely.
On a, for example, if there is a mold line on a model, it might win. Yes, it's immediately disqualified from Golden Demon. It might win GBWC. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. We could get pretty far. That happens all the time.
Theoretically. Different standards.
I think GBWC it's less is, of a marketing thing.
Well, only Games Workshop does Golden Demon, though.
Yeah, so, but it so doesn't feel marketed at all. I don't get a pamphlet of like, hey, try out for the Golden Demon.
Some of us are like, well, it used to be all over White Dwarf. So Games Workshop sort of built this. This is really interesting comparing Games Workshop and Bandai. They're very different companies that have different marketing strategies. And for Games Workshop, things have changed a lot recently.
Yeah.
So if you look at like old school Games Workshop, they wanted to build their own internal empire. So all of their branded stuff was them only. Like Golden Demon had to be a Games Workshop model. You know, it had to be like only Games Workshop parts. It was just like what Bandai did with the GBWC.
It's but kind like, of like George Lucas at the beginning. He wanted to be like DIY.
That's exactly
it's his
right.
Shit, that's it.
It's like,
don't touch it.
You know, somebody luckily talked him out of giving Luke Skywalker a robotic head. But besides that, you know, he wanted to have full control over his universe because that's what he was doing. Yeah. He was building a universe. So and you know, nowadays, who knows what he well, hi Disney, like whatever. But recently, Games Workshop has actually started doing good community outreach. There was a dark period. There was a dark period for Games Workshop, though, and we could probably do like a whole podcast episode about that. But I don't want to get into it because it is
it's such
kind
a
of
thing, right?
Yeah. Like that's.
I will say, as of recently, being a new person, kind of like you know, watching, you know, learning from Duncan, and now Duncan's not a part of Games Workshop.
That's
anymore,
right. Yeah.
Too. And
it's gone through a lot of phases. It's evolving.
I've been loving their I don't know the dude's name. I don't know if he's the CEO or not, but the videos with the dude for like Christmas and shit, the Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
It's fucking hilarious.
The Christmas
like,
shopping
great.
Videos were good. And well, recently
it
they
reminds me of IT Crowd, but for Games Workshop.
Yes, exactly. That way it's just classic British humor. It's just so cool.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, they're very, you know, proud to be like a UK owned company, so they're really solidly
that will never
establish
happen
themselves.
With Bandai. We'll never have like funny little commercials and stuff.
That's true. Bandai's very corporate. They take themselves very seriously, and there are actually benefits to that because they're so big.
They're doing other stuff too. It's just not Gundam. They have every other Bandai product known to man.
Oh, they seriously do. Yep.
That's a major company compared to like a little miniature. I mean, Games Workshop's not little though either.
It is big. It is a big miniatures company, but that's not saying much. If you look at the markets for Bandai and Games Workshop, Bandai dwarfs Games Workshop.
Oh,
massively.
For sure. No,
they're both
intended.
Plastic model companies. Games Workshop's slogan was or used to be the best model soldiers in the world. And that wasn't really a hard goal to achieve because there weren't very many companies that made model soldiers.
Yeah, exactly.
But they were pretty good. Like, I got to say, Games Workshop has very good casts. And that's why I enjoy painting Games Workshop miniatures a lot. What I usually paint... non-heroic scale fantasy models because I use them in Dungeons & Dragons campaigns.
Okay, yeah.
And that's what I've been doing since the beginning. Like, I remember my first ever character. I still have it on my shelf. Like,
yeah.
It's terrible.
I still have my first orc. It's on on my bookshelf. Yeah.
Save that old shit because it's like you look back at it and you say, man, look at how far I've come, you know?
Well, that was like the failure thing I posted on Instagram.
Yeah.
That was a big... of, you know, looking at that and then looking at one of my first kits and be like, okay, it's not that bad. But I can still say, hey, I don't like it. I don't want to put it out there. And then, you know, save it for something else. Like Phil had a follow-up post to that about saving his old projects and then coming back to them being like, hey, let's do something different with it.
Maybe I can fix it. Like, let's strip some paint off. That's something you can do.
That's a big part of miniatures.
It is. With miniatures, it's easier to strip paint off, well, for the most part, a miniature
depending
than it is
on
off of
factors.
A Gunpla.
Well, yeah, because you have to, like, disassemble it, and, like, the different types of material are involved, and it's a whole fucking thing.
And even
miniature
then, if you're...
dunk it.
If it's resin, I mean, you know, if you're... Over. Yeah, game over, maybe, yeah. But if it's pewter, you got tons of, like, harsh solvents that you can use to strip all the paint off of that thing.
I've seen someone recommended getting old pewter models to practice on because you can paint it, learn it, strip it, just keep doing that over and over and over again.
I happen to love pewter models, and I'm actually also a big fan of like super old lead models.
You got a ship in the
vlog. That was really cool. I mean, that's a nice, you know, a nice old lead miniature model. But the reason why I like pewter and lead so much is because there's a couple of things. It's the feeling of the heft that the model has.
Yeah.
And also, you can bend it. You have more posing control over a pewter model in a lot of ways than you would over a polystyrene model.
That's true.
With styrene, you got to cut and bend, or you know, cut to bend really.
Yeah.
But pewter actually bends. It's very nice. I love working with pewter models, and that's actually why I do a lot of Reaper miniatures. Reaper is an American company that makes very inexpensive casts, mostly fantasy again. So,
yeah. I think one of the weird things, I guess we can talk about kind of our starting experiences with this.
Oh, yeah.
For me, it was when I was doing a lot of band stuff, I got War Machine starter kit, split it with my roommate. And, whew, those are rough, man. those are rough.
They've also been through a couple of different iterations. There were old War Machine starter kits that were made with a different type of resin than their regular miniatures.
Yeah.
And the starter kit resin was really hard to work with. It was like spongy. It was like you try to sand it, like it doesn't sand. Like
a soft plastic kind of thing.
Right. It was terrible. More recently, they've started using the like good kind of resin.
Aren't they out of business? Or something? I thought they discontinued War Machine.
I don't know. I heard Privateer Press was having trouble, but I haven't been catching up with them recently. I think their problem was they were competing very heavily with Warhammer.
I mean, down to the logos and shit, like in the marketing,
well,
it looks
similar
the same.
Art. What's really weird is, again, very small market, small communities. Like, unlike Gunpla, where when you build a Gundam model, you compete with other modelers in contests. You can have painting contests for miniatures, and I really enjoy those. But most miniatures are also tied to a game.
Yeah,
and
that's
in the case
true.
Of in the case of like War Machine and Warhammer, the game is only as good as its rules.
That's very true.
And just like Games Workshop went through a dark period, I think that Warhammer also went through a dark period.
Yeah,
like, they discontinued Warhammer Fantasy and created something new. Now it's
Age of Sigmar.
Yeah, Age of Sigmar, but. Around that same time, Warhammer 40K was having a lot of trouble, and then they kind of fixed
move.
It. They kind of like, fixed it. Like, so it was weird. It's weird how all these games go up and down in popularity and also in rules quality, and as they do, you can watch what happens to other games. Like, when 40K was struggling, War Machine was thriving.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember hearing that
from
other people that said the same thing. And
I played War Machine as well. I had a Kador. Yeah. I actually still have a bunch of Kador models. I really like their casts. They're
do
like
you,
ridiculous over-the-top steampunk kind of.
Yeah.
It's great.
Do you like playing more or painting more?
I like painting more.
Same.
I don't
play Warhammer, actually.
I used to play a lot more than I do.
I have played before, like, a bunch of people get like, I have played before. I've played the starter games. I've played some, like, you know, hodgepodge rules and stuff. I am very bad with math. So Warhammer is a big no-no for me.
Well,
except for the whatever the latest one is, or 8th edition.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where it's really easy.
The latest one gets really... And even the older editions weren't, like, horribly math-heavy. It was just list construction was really complicated.
That and rules and all this other stuff. We played X-Wing and Star Wars Legion recently at the shop at Hangar 18 Hobbies.
Oh, yeah.
And we played a baby game of Legion.
Gets really complicated.
Right? It can get insanely complicated, but it's just all shapes.
That's
it's just all shapes.
Mm-hmm. That's
it's
correct.
Just remembering shapes. I mean, same thing with X-Wing. It's
with
just
X-Wing,
all shapes.
Yeah, your ship can only fly a certain number of ways.
Yeah.
Roll some dice to do stuff. Like, that's super
it's
fun.
More, it allows you to be more strategic about it, and that's what I really like is, like, it's a game, like, I think we both played Magic before. Magic's a game where you kind of, some people get into that mindset of, like, oh, I didn't mean to do that, I'm going to take it back. X-Wing is like, you did it, you fucking commit to it,
but
you're going to learn your lesson
but,
the hard
but also, it's, you did it, there's no way to undo it.
Yeah.
Like, you just did this thing with this complicated template. I don't know how you positioned it. You don't know how you positioned it. You're not going to be able to put that model back where it used to be.
Yeah.
You know the model is... Yeah, the model is gone.
Yeah.
The X-Wing made a maneuver. You can't unmaneuver the maneuver, dude.
Beep, beep.
Right.
Go in reverse or some shit.
Big miniature games, like huge games of Warhammer, are like that, too. Because you can't undo a squad move, man. You just move 20 models.
Yeah.
Right. So I like models. I like games where you have to commit to things, but I don't like big games.
That's a lot. I like watching them.
Yeah, they're fun to watch, but it's a lot. First,
to take
it's
in.
A lot to make. Like I've made two Warhammer armies in my life. I made an Eldar army and a Deathwing army, painted up like Astral Claws.
Yeah,
from the Maelstrom, but you know, really, like, they're. The games take so long. I would sit down and play a Warhammer game, and it would be like 5 hours.
Yeah, dude, you have to have a lot of extra. And I think that's
really
what. I think that's why you see a lot of Gunpla and we'll just use scale modelers to kind of differentiate. Is that see a lot of skilled modders get into painting and, yeah, and doing these really cool vignettes and dioramas with miniatures.
Do that on your own time.
And they don't play.
Yep.
That's what I do. I was like, I get this. I see it all around bases. I'm like, I'm not going to play. I thought it was away.
I totally get it. Like, that makes logical sense, and I completely understand the rationale behind that, and all power to you. And, you know, and actually that's what I am now. Who am I kidding?
I was going
to
say, what do you play currently?
Well, over the years, I don't play anything currently, nor have I Yeah, D&D. But D&D is only partially a miniature game, so
You don't even need miniatures, do you?
That's right. In 5th edition, there is no need for miniatures. 4th edition was very miniature heavy.
But it helps.
It does help.
I think, I mean, I've only played Shadowrun, so my
There are ways to do it so that it doesn't matter. Like, for example, if you play with a group that's very flexible, you can say, well, all right, you're a short distance away from X and Y, and you're right next to Z. So then they can, you know, you can start to visualize the locations of things. But the nice thing about miniatures is that if you and your opponent are both super into the art of the miniature and you're super into the game, then while playing the game, you create scenarios on the board, which are like their own dioramas.
And I've seen some, like Joe from Death Saves. Have you seen his table?
Yeah, dude.
It
that
is insane.
So that's like tabletop goals, right?
Yeah.
The cooler terrain you have,
man,
the better. And making terrain is its own hobby.
That's another thing, too, we'll talk about it here, is terrain making, mm-hmm, because I went down a fucking rabbit hole with that shit.
I remember
XPS foam I have in the studio
and
now.
You built that wall up there that you're going to use.
Yeah.
You could use that wall for Gunpla, too, and for toy photography.
I made a quick little just fast first attempt at a mountain little diorama that we use for all of our Godzilla toy photography at Holy Mountain.
That's a great idea. Because it's nice to have a 3D terrain item.
It helps sell its stuff.
It
man.
Contributes
it
a
looks,
lot.
It looks dope, and I think having that with D&D shit is pretty fucking
well,
cool.
Well, but to go back to your question, besides D&D, I don't really play any miniature games, and I have this habit, and I think that a lot of our listeners can probably relate to this, where I really want to start a new game.
Try something
like,
fresh and new and
so,
learning it. And
I played Warhammer for a long time, and I was like, you know what? This is getting old. Like all the people that I play with are like either left or don't play the game anymore. And
or you
so,
played them a million times.
Or you play them a million times and like you get sick of playing the same Chaos and Tyranids armies like over and over again. And you're like, yeah, okay, let's do something new. So I will occasionally find a new game.
Yeah.
Say, this looks cool. Maybe I should look for miniatures for it. And then like I'll build like a couple of squads for that game. And then I'll paint them all up, build them and paint them, and then nobody will play with me.
We had that with Shadespire.
Oh, yeah.
At a store. I was so stoked on it because I've been wanting to play a card game.
Right.
I wanted to play Warhammer. God bless JT's soul. He bought me the game. And I was like, you know, hey, I'll buy you something for it. Do a little trade. And my Shadespire box is still sitting on the shelf. You can see it over there.
I can see it
you
on Joel's
see
shelf.
It
confirmed.
None of the things are punched out. The minis are all there. It's a shit show. But
that's a good idea for a game, though. Like in general, Shadespire is.
Oh,
it's a game
awesome.
In a box.
It's great. It's a whole game there, and the minis, while they're not 40K quality, they're still really good quality compared to. I've had issues with Pathfinder minis.
That's really with Pathfinder minis. Interesting.
The pre-primed ones.
Okay. So that is another topic.
Yeah.
But let's get into that topic in a moment. I did want to list off some of the games that I started but never actually played.
Okay.
Because
name it out, dog.
All right. Here we go. You ready?
Let's go.
I don't think you're ready, but let's walk through
it. This is going to be a long list.
Reaper's Warlord.
Okay. I know. Yeah, I've heard of that.
Weird's Malifaux.
I've seen that one, too.
Yep. That uses decks of cards. Seems
cool. Yeah,
so I've got two Malifaux armies.
And decks of cards, too, right?
Well, I got tons of decks of cards. You can just use any old bicycle, like playing card deck.
Oh, okay.
The different cards give you a randomizer. Necromunda.
Yeah, that's one that's played a lot of here. Mm-hmm. And that one's really cool, too, because it's 40K, but like a different universe, kind of,
It's
the underground.
Well, you know, in 40K, you play as the super elite armies of all of these different
factions. These are like the scum and villainy.
Yeah, it's like you play as like a dude or a bunch of dudes who are just criminals.
They're all gangs. That's,
yeah,
that's
exactly. They're gangsters.
I'm sure right now there's like people who are like, they're fucking gangs. They're not army. Oh, okay, they said gangs.
They're gangs. Yeah, they're just like, yeah.
I really like that. The minis are cool too.
I like it too, and I like how the stats reflect that they're just dudes.
Yeah,
because
no
like
superpowers or anything.
Yeah, you drop a Space Marine into a Necromunda game, and they're just like, all right, well,
yeah, game over.
Yeah, whatever. But that's pretty fun. So that's why that I like that. I never played it.
Shit.
I have an army for it. I had a couple others. Oh, Infinity by Corvus Belli. A
lot of like ninja stuff.
Yep. Ninja stuff, robot stuff, Space Knights. Really cool.
Very Shadowrun-y.
Shadowrun, cyberpunk. It's like it has all the cool elements of a great game. And I even like started out to build a table for it with like buildings and stuff. And
that'd be fucking awesome.
Never played it.
Damn.
I got a starter set. I got the armies for it.
Yeah.
It. Oh my God, this is still going. I have miniatures for several different basically party based RPGs.
Yeah.
And I wrote rules for one.
Oh, so like you made your own?
Yeah.
Like
I wrote
game.
I wrote my own
rule set.
It's like a party based. Skirmish game based on Mordheim by Games Workshop.
I remember you telling me about that.
I got as far as playtesting a game, and that's it.
Oh man,
yeah,
that's damn dog. Yeah, that's that sucks.
But I got a bunch of miniatures now.
Yeah, I mean that's the other cool thing is like you don't have to play and paint. You can do one or the other.
That's also how I found out that I like building and painting.
I will say, I think again, this is probably a great topic for another episode. Is that commerce for that, the community, that because you have people that are, oh god man, commissions for Gundam and scale modeling is such a weird thing, because yes, there are people that just want a cool looking Gundam that was painted by someone they enjoy their art style, but it still seems very foreign to a lot of people.
I don't get it. I've had people ask me for commissions, but I don't really do them. Like somebody
I
kind of like,
want to
hey.
Have the people sit down next to me and be like, here, you can do it yourself and not spend hundreds of dollars. But at the same time, hundreds of dollars is nice.
I don't know what to build, but I don't think I could be reasonable in that price range.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too. Your art has value. That's why I do like selling repainted toys and figures and stuff, because it's a lot more of like, hey, you're just a collector. You want to have a different version of this. Fuck yeah, let's do
that.
Yeah,
it makes sense. Yeah, we can make it happen for you, but with a model, it's like, you know.
But with Warhammer, you have hardcore players that are all about the game. They don't care what their models look like, and they'll spend thousands on a painted army.
Oh, of course, because they want something that goes on the tabletop and that people are like, wow, look at that.
Yeah.
It's like a status symbol kind
of
thing.
And it kind of, it's a loop, because the players want paints, the painters don't want to play, but they also want to still be involved with that community a little bit.
In a lot of tournaments, if a tournament winner doesn't build or paint their own army, the painter will get a shout out get like a plug.
So is playing an army painted by Brandon.
It's sort of like, nobody will ever do that. Nobody will ever want that. But it's like sponsors, like in NASCAR or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, the driver is, Billy
sponsored
Bob.
Sponsored by Twinkie.
Sponsored by Twinkie. It's a Twinkie car. Yeah, okay, that's cool.
Fuck, well.
Wow, are you dying over there?
I'm dying. Yeah, I'm having a rough time today. I'm recovering from being sick. So.
You were recovering very well because a couple of weeks ago we could not record due to Joel being...
Yeah, I had whatever flu. Mm. Rachel had it first, and then I absorbed it from her.
Yep.
When she was like, "Oh, you won't get sick." I'm like, "That's bullshit."
This is how this works.
Yeah. But, we live together. It's hard to not get sick from each other.
So we've got, since Premonition of Paint is its own spinoff podcast, we do have a section for sponsors. But before we hit the sponsorship section, there was one more topic that came up, and then we wanted to go back to it. And that was the quality of those pre-painted,
miniatures. Yeah. Well, here, before we talk about that real quick, let's jump over. What did we name it? What'd you name it?
It's the Great Hall of Paint.
The Great Hall of Paint is like the supply drop on the cutting mat. So let's go ahead and let's head over to the Great Hall. Fuck yeah, welcome.
Welcome to the Mighty Hall! You're going to have to cut that down in post.
You're going to have to try it every time until you can reach his falsetto highs.
Eventually, my vocal cords will disintegrate.
So we do want to thank a couple of sponsors for making the Cutting Mat and this podcast possible. Of course, USAGundamStore.com. If you're listening and you keep saying, what is this Gunpla nonsense they're talking
Gunpla.
About? Check them out at USAGundamStore.com. You can use code TRUEGUNPLA10 to get 10% off your order. And great company. Mm-hmm. Adam and his team in Florida are amazing fucking people, and they kill it. And they have a lot of great painting supplies. Even if you're not into scale models, I would recommend going from there.
I've been loving their painting supplies. I'm actually a huge fan of all of their detail parts. If you go to the detail up section of USA Gundam Store, they got tons of stuff that will apply to any genre, sci-fi, fantasy, what have you. What have you is a genre.
Yeah, it's a great genre.
I like that genre. I'm
and speaking of USA Gundam, you can buy SMS paints.
Yup.
From USA Gundam, and that leads us to our next sponsor.
Let's talk about SMS paints. So, like, when I first started miniature painting, I used testers enamels.
Holy hell!
I hand
how old
painted.
Are you?
I was literally 11.
That makes sense. I feel like that was like the only.
It's all I had.
Paint really.
And then testers came out with their acrylics, and then I painted with testers acryls, and now testers acryls don't exist anymore. So, not so much for that. But SMS paints. If you compare them to testers enamels,
night
it is
fucking day.
Yeah, it's seriously night and day. I mean, the SMS paints were actually like formulated for model kit building.
Yep.
These are paints that are not just for painting the engine block in your little tiny testers, Corvette
model.
Or whatever.
But I've seen a lot of car model kits with SMS stuff. They're kind of universal. I used them recently on a Shin Godzilla soft vinyl repaint.
Dude, that repaint looks
Fubi
great.
Style.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're into even just like Sufubi painting, these are pretty. I mean, they're acrylic lacquer, so they're a little harsh, but they're very vibrant and they're airbrush ready. You dump them into your airbrush and you're fucking good to go.
Yep, and we will actually probably do a premonition of paint about the application of airbrushes in miniature painting because they have
a
time and a place.
Different world than Gunpla is,
and you use it a little bit differently too.
Yeah. So thank you to Scott and the Scale Modeler Supply for being a ongoing sponsor of the Cutting Mat Podcast. You can find them over at USA Gundam Store, on Instagram, Scale Modeler Supply, and there's a Facebook group as well. I think it's just SMS or Scale Modeler Supply group.
Well, if you look up Scale Modeler Supply, the Facebook group pops up. So
there you go. And then, of course, Holy Mountain Printing.
Yep.
Will always be a sponsor of anything we do here. Check them out at holymountainprinting.com if you want Gundam and other heavy metal. It kind of fits in here a little more on brand.
Oh, it really does.
If you want some great fucking like metal merchandise, this is the spot to go to. We've got bands like Blood Incantation, Leviathan, Boris. We have a Boris store, which
Boris.
Is a whole other genre.
If I name things which I think might be metal bands, could you tell them whether they are or are not?
Is it a bunch of medical terms?
No, they're okay. Cannibal Corpse.
Band.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Volatile Erection.
I'm sure it's a band.
All right. What about 12 Buckets of Blood?
That's a band.
Okay. A Horse Head in Your Bed.
I think that was like a one-man grindcore band from the MySpace days.
Yeah, I'll believe that. What about a Bacillus Insurrection?
That's our new band name.
All right. And then I got one more, and the last one is called Thiol Putrescence.
That's our second album's name.
Wonderful.
For our new band name.
All right.
And then I think that is all we have for this month. Are we forgetting anyone?
No.
I don't think we are.
We don't ever forget people. Come on.
And quit.
We know everyone.
We know everyone.
And,
so, let's get
Casper
out of the...
Casper Mattresses, please call us.
Please call us.
And also, have you guys heard from Tony Hawk recently?
No. I have not heard from him recently.
Interesting. I hope he's okay.
But if you do want to become a sponsor, our sponsoring information is available on the Patreon, patreon.com/thecuttingmatpodcast, I believe.
Yep.
Or go to our website, thecuttingmatpodcast.com, where you can find episodes of that podcast and this one and all kinds of fun stuff on there.
Yep.
But let's go ahead. Let's get out of this this stinky hall of money and enamel lacquer
paints. Gross. You guys.
Oh my god, I love the fact that we can just fucking transfer this.
This is so easy. It's just so easy. Again, they don't sponsor us. We just like their board.
We gave them a lot of money too for this.
Yeah, we did. But you know, I ordered it from a local company, Sweetwater Sound. They're very nice.
Are they local?
I think they're local-ish. They felt local.
They're locally online on your laptop.
They were right in front of me on my monitor. I don't know.
That's pretty fucking local.
How does the internet even function? I don't. So here's the thing about the internet. You can, with the internet.
It's a series of tubes.
And miniatures. Sometimes the internet's the only place you can actually get some miniatures.
That's true.
They're kind of rare.
I've lucked out, and to kind of go back to what we were talking about before, the Great Hall of Paint.
The Money Hall!
was the Vallejo pre-primed, like Pathfinder D&D mini.
So there's two lines. There's the Pathfinder line, and there's the Dungeons & Dragons line, and I think they're all made by WizKids.
Yeah, WizKids is the primary company,
and they prime them with Vallejo primer. But
I feel like they dunk them in Vallejo primer.
It's a dip. It's kind of a, like, you can either get Vallejo primer or barbecue sauce. Just either or. You can ask for whichever one.
Thick.
So she's thick. Well, the real problem is that, like, they don't remove the flash on the miniatures before they prime.
No, and then
prime
they prime it.
So your options are either go back with a knife and cut off the flash and then hand paint it, which means that some of your paint's not going to be on primer, or go back, cut off all the flash, and spray it again, which defeats the purpose of buying a pre-prime miniature.
Have you stripped one before?
Not on purpose.
We should probably test that.
I haven't chemically stripped one, but I did scrape some of the primer off with a knife because one of the models I got had a clear part, and I was painting it for my DM at the time, and he needed it to be like actually clear, but some of the primer got onto the clear part, so I had to scrape it off. But it worked. I mean, the primer isn't that well adhered to the clear plastic, at least. I'm not totally sure about the rest of the plastic. But they're nice miniatures for getting started, but the
price point's really good. The price point's fantastic.
They're
like $2 or $3.
Yeah, for two miniatures. It's like, come on, that's wonderful. I mean, that's like old school Reaper minis.
Yeah,
Reaper
I did
bones.
The Iron Maiden.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah. That was really good.
It was good, but I didn't like how thick the primer was. Yeah. I didn't think about stripping it.
Well,
it
ate up a bunch of the detail. Yeah. That's the downside.
I think if you strip these, and I'm sure there's a video that I haven't watched on YouTube about this shit, but I'm sure if you strip them down, they're great quality miniatures.
Maybe. The plastic is still a little bit flexible.
It is very flexible.
I don't like that in general, but it doesn't matter because as long as you're, like, you paint your miniature, and then once it's painted, you just don't, like,
flex
it too much.
You're
good, yeah. But
that paint's going to also, like, kind of make a little bit sturdier.
Yeah, maybe. I hope so. It depends on how much paint are you putting on these things, Joel?
I'm dunking them. I'm doing dunk.
The paint is structurally integral to the model. That's how much paint he puts on them. Have you ever seen?
Paint is the glue to the model.
We don't use CA glue here. We just use paint.
Yeah, just paint it on, bud.
Oh, well,
that's terrible.
But the really interesting thing about those models is that you can get stuff in those that you can't get in other lines.
Yeah.
Like, they're officially licensed. So there is a Pathfinder Monster Manual. There's a Dungeons & Dragons Monster Manual. If you need a monster, they probably have a miniature of it.
They have so. That's the thing, too, with this line. You can find anything you fucking want. I've been collecting torture devices because Rachel wants to do a. Because I did the Iron Maiden for her.
Yeah.
It was a gift for her. She Aww. Wanted me to do it. And she was like, okay, now I want, like, a dungeon with all these, like, torture
oh,
devices.
Oh, hell yeah.
And they make one that's pre-painted, but I want to paint it.
Yeah. Well, you got to paint it. Well, you could
do
you always get the pre-painted
and
one
shit.
And then. Well, like you could do XPS foam, or you just repaint your pre-painted dungeon. The nice thing about miniatures is that since there aren't any joints to move, like, miniatures are very different than Gunpla in that, and if you're building a resin Gunpla kit, or if you're locking all your joints, that's also a different strategy. But if you want to do a photo shoot with multiple poses, there's a different style of painting that you have to use. With miniatures, you can reprime a pre-painted miniature fairly easily and then repaint it. Boom.
Yeah.
Who cares? Doesn't matter.
I
really
enjoy
easy.
Doing my Gundam stuff as if they were miniatures. I try to paint them in the same one to where, like, if I need to paint multiple pieces, I'm taking off, like, the arms and legs, and that's it.
And I do that with SDs. That's how I
do
SDs.
I mean, that's mainly, And, you know, I do like painting inner frames and doing detail painting and stuff like that, but I don't. I understand I've painted. Airbrushed, you know, a couple of kits where I'd use every single piece on a sprue, and I get it. I get why it's done, but at the same time, I feel you just mask it off or just hand paint it.
Yeah. Well, different, you get a certain style.
Yeah, it's all different.
When you hand paint miniatures, for example, things are small enough that you are able to replicate some of the things that you can do with an airbrush on larger scales.
Yeah.
You can actually get a pretty good fade just by layering different colors of paint.
Different, like, transparencies, right. Like wet blending and dry, like, brushing and shit.
You know, this is just our intro episode, but we'll probably talk a little bit more about, you know, all these different painting techniques in later Premonition of Paint episodes.
Yeah.
This one in particular, like layering, wet blending, even like dry blending, there's like a dry brush kind of blending technique that you can do, which involves keeping your palette fairly wet and then just stepping up, you know, because wet blending actually requires that you like use some extender and keep things wet on the work, which is a different technique from keeping things wet on your palette.
Yeah.
All interesting.
Radial dry brushing is one of my favorite things.
Oh, yeah.
And because
it comes out pretty well sometimes, too.
Well, it's also something, too, I notice where I think even for people that don't paint miniatures, that this is going to be a really good insight into that kind of thing with this podcast, is that when it comes to Gundam model kits and airbrushing and painting, is that the main thing you see people do is they get three colors.
Yep.
That's all they're using. It's those three colors. And it's not like... like I did with the Safibi one, where Safibi painting is where you're blending those colors together.
Mm-hmm.
It's this part's white, this part's gray, this part's blue. That's it.
Yep.
Maybe they'll do some black pre-shading, which is highly frowned upon, but they'll do that, and that's the extent of it. They're not mixing colors. They're not doing highlighting, post-shading, edge. There's so much stuff you could pick up from miniature painting that applies to Gundam that blows people's fucking
mind.
It's
a whole world out here. Like, if you're a fan of Warhammer 40K, or if you're not, you can take a look on Google. The Black Templars, Space Marines.
Woo!
They got black armor. How do you shade black, Joel?
That's a very big, honest question. A lot of new people. I'm in this droid group for Galaxy's Edge.
Oh, droids also have white on them. How do you highlight white,
exactly.
Joel?
Exactly. And
the answer is you can't.
The group is great. It's a lot of new people. Same thing with the Power Rangers board game.
Oh, yeah.
That's gotten a lot of people into mini painting that have never experienced it before.
Those minis are larger than 28mm also, so
yeah,
it's going to be a little bit more interesting to paint those.
But in that droid group, the number one question I always see is to give you preference, Galaxy Edge sells this $100 droid. It's actually really nice. It's really big. You can customize it, change heads, parts, little accessories.
It talks
to
you.
It does interact with stuff around the park, or if you have a Bluetooth readers at home.
It'll do your taxes. It can drive stick. Like, it's a pretty cool little...
Can't drive stick yet.
What?
Yeah, that's the older models.
Mine could drive stick.
Shit. But everyone likes repainting them, and there's different levels you'll see. There's, like, some Sharpie repaints, and then there's, like, a dude airbrushing his whole entire thing. And the number one question that I always try to help with is, how do you weather black?
Yeah.
And it's because everyone's watched a video. It's kind of the same thing in the Gundam community with the magic wash of Pledge and black paint and thinning it down to make a gunk wash.
Right.
Is that this is happening kind of in a smaller concentrated community that they saw, okay, you take black acrylic paint, you take water, you water it down, and you rub it all over your new $100 droid you bought, and boom, it's weathered. That
gross.
Can work.
Gross. Clean it up.
There's a lot of other steps to that shit.
Right.
And I'm starting to notice those, you know, it's what worked for one person that has experienced another shit worked really well.
Right.
Will not work for a new person
into it. Like, I could describe how to do, for example, a gunk wash.
Yeah.
Or any kind of wash.
Yeah.
With two different levels of detail.
Exactly.
Because one of them could be, well, you water down a bunch of paint, or you thin a bunch of paint, and then you put it on a thing.
Yeah, or you do a bunch of oil paint and just wipe off.
And then the other level detail is, well, you got to be strategic about where you apply the paint. You got to make sure that it's thin to a certain amount. You got to make sure that you wipe it off in certain areas. You got to not let it pool
in
certain areas.
Think about where it goes.
Right, think about where's oil going to leak. What kind of weather is this? Is it space dust? Is it rust? Is it, like, what's actually happening on there? With black, though, you weather black, it doesn't, you maybe it doesn't show dirt.
If you do it, well, the thing is that that's what I was trying to go with that, is that the gunk black wash is so popular that when it comes to people that want to do an all-black droid, they don't think about oranges, yellows, metals, you know, all this other stuff that may come natural to someone that paints minis or something like that.
Right. You buy a black car, it's not going to show dirt, but it's going to show scratches.
Yep.
And a black droid's going to show chips.
Yeah, it's gonna have that metal underneath, mm-hmm. that classic, you know, big chip Star Wars weathering that people are so loved to. That, and it is just one of those kind of funny things of being in that smaller community and seeing the same trends with miniatures.
Well, they're
and
reinventing the wheel.
Yeah, it's like, Gunkwash is great, but what happens when you get mm-hmm. to black? What happens when you try to do other colors? And we notice that with like black pre-shading, black priming. Like it's all these little things that you notice that are all in the same thing.
It's like studying anthropology. Like we just did the Cutting Mat episode about tribal knowledge.
Yeah, it's all the same.
Like within the tribe, the community has a certain amount of knowledge.
Yeah,
and military modelers have had this for decades. The Gunpla community is just starting to figure it out. Like we've got it pretty well down actually at this point, to be honest. And then here is a totally new community. These people don't necessarily build models; they have droids.
Yeah.
So how do they make their droid look realistic? They got to call back on knowledge from modeling communities that they aren't a part of.
Yeah.
It's like, well, the first people in the world to invent a grain silo didn't necessarily sell that technology to everyone else they knew. People had to invent these things in parallel.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I do like, and I guess that's what we'll get with and kind of leave on a end note here, is that it is very interesting taking a step back from the Gundam community and entering the miniature community and kind of like seeing similar trends, similar content creators, podcasts, you know, even like commissions and seeing how they do it to see maybe how we can improve it.
Oh yeah. Well,
for Gundam.
Even then, to take a step back and just like zoom in on the concept of these nerd podcasts, right? Look, here we are. We're like total plastic model nerds because it's just a hobby that we're super passionate about. And we can expand that nerddom out into a slightly larger umbrella that also includes miniature modeling. Like maybe it also includes, you know, Japanese car modeling, for example.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
It could include a lot of different things, but we like to talk about these individual topics so that you, person who is listening that has an interest in this topic, has, you know, someplace they can go to get their fix of this, of this nerd hobby.
And get maybe like a different input. Because that's the other thing too, is like there's abundant amount of all this different entertainment and content to listen to. It's kind of cool to have someone's different perspective on it.
Yep, especially on something that is your thing.
Yeah, I mean, and also with this, you're very experienced.
Yeah, I've been doing this for a long time. I've won awards, and you're very new, but like you've got all this cross hobby stuff,
knowledge
with
and
the
shit.
Yeah,
it's fucking awesome. But mm-hmm. if there's anything you guys want to hear us talk about miniature wise, you have suggestions for topics, let us know. Hit us up on any of the Cutting Mat social media. If you're a Patreon, you have exclusive access to our ears, so you can talk to us directly about what you want to hear.
Our ears are your ears.
Exactly. And we're going to start having, like we said, in the Cutting Mat, some video content, so we can incorporate some premonition of pain.
There's a weirdness about doing a podcast, which is not a visual medium, with visual hobbies.
Visual hobbies with audio mediums explaining visual topics. And that's why we always try to keep the Cutting Mat and the premonition of pain topics to be very broad, you know, about communities, about XYZ, not so much here's how you paint a line.
They're
we
almost
can show you that on video.
They're like meta analyses of the hobby and not doing the hobby. So I think that's the thing that we really need more of. So let us know if you have any ideas. Like Joel said, we are a part of the Cutting Mat.
It's a big Cutting Mat, and we're like 7 inches of it.
We're like
a 34 inch.
We're like 7 inches of like a 34 inch mat, but that 7 inches of that mat has got paint all over it.
Yeah, and it's built up, and there's bits and bobs and spiky bits and all kinds of shit on there.
Spiky bits.
That's another great channel.
Spiky bits. That's spiky a good bits. Channel. That's true.
But I'm Joel.
I am Brandon.
And this has been Premonition of Paint. Hope you guys enjoy it. And till next time.
Get out there and do it badly and just paint something.
Paint some fucking minis. Like fucking Scott Miniature Maniac says.
Hit that outro.
Hell yeah.
So that's the outro we're going with?